very nice nice piece in the Or Gedaliah. Rav Gedaliah Shor. If the Chevra is not familiar with the Sefer, you should get familiar with the Sefer. It's a very, very good place if a person wants to gain Yesodos in the Svarim HaKadoshim. Befrat, if you want to get more comfortable learning Svarim like Sfas Emes, Jamie Shmuel, and the Maharal, and Rav Tzadok, a lot of the words of Rav Gedaliah Shor, Zatzal are built on those Svarim. But he has an important piece on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and unfortunately there's not enough Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan Torah out there. So I thought we would start with this, and hopefully it can give us some perspective as we head from Chodesh Tishrei, the lofty days of Tishrei, into Chodesh Cheshvan. Erev Rosh Chodesh Nikra Yom Kippur Katan. Zman L'Cheshvan HaNefesh Ulis Oiris. Yom Kippur Katan, should we start Yom Kippur Katan a while? We need more Yom Kippur Katan a while. Okay, Erev Rosh Chodesh is a miniature Yom Kippur. It's a zman for making a Cheshvan HaNefesh, it's a zman for arousing oneself for the Hashpos of the new month. And there's two basic ways that a person can become awakened. When a person is involved in too much gashmius, he becomes sleepy. And we've been trying to wake ourselves up from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh when we had the shofar. We've been trying to wake ourselves up. Yoshev batel ki yashin dami. A person who sits and is batel, who doesn't accomplish, is not active, is as if he's sleeping. Or like Yonah is challenged as he's asleep at the bottom of the ship in an Ace Saran, an Ace Ratzon, and Yonah is sleeping. And they say it, and the captain of the ship says, Malachan Nirdam, how could you sleep at a time like this? So we're trying to maintain the Hesaurus. Excuse me. We're trying to maintain the Hesaurus that we've all had over the last month. We're trying to make sure that we stay awake. And there's two basic ways that a person can be motivated. We can motivate ourselves positively, we can motivate ourselves negatively. What does that mean? We could harp on all of the negative things that we have in our life, all of the things that we're lacking in our life. We could try to scare ourselves into being Jews who are alert. A person could constantly be beating himself up over everything that he hasn't done. And that can create a hesaurus. That can be an awakening. He can be so frightened of his shortcomings, and he can be so frightened by the times that he's slipped in the past, that he's scared that he's going to spiral downward. And he can try to motivate himself by focusing on the shortcomings. Secondly, the second possibility is omitoch she'ifa l'madregos gavos. A person can focus on where he wants to be. He can set the bar very high. He can have a she'ifa for great things. Shumeiven es yacholto la'agil l'madregos gavos. He tries to believe in his ability to reach high levels. V'yesh lo she'ifa la'aliyazu. And he's motivated, he's driven to reach those levels. Kvo she'amru chazal, as it says in, I think it's Medrash Tana de Be'aliyo, chayiv adam lomar. When are my actions, when are my asai going to reach the levels of the avos? That it's not heretical for a Jew to believe in himself that I could be like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? Whereas they say, if I persist, I think Rav Simcha Bunim used to say that masai yagiu is a lashon of negia, at least a touch, at least to make contact. If I'm not going to be the next Avram Avinu, I should at least be able to hold Avram's hand. Be able to make contact with the avos, right? But to be striving, to be a person who has she'ifas, who has goals, who's driven, who wants to be something. She'tzarach li'oslo she'ifa la'agil le'dargas avos. A person has to have a desire to be like the avos. And again, being like the avos doesn't mean being Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. Being like the avos means that just like the avos changed the world, a person has to believe that I have the ability to change the world. And just like the avos created a unique hashpa in the world, so I have the ability to accomplish something unique in the world. This can also be a tremendous source of isoris for a person. When a person thinks about this, right, and he realizes that this approach is less depressing than perhaps the first approach, Hocheach tochiach es am yisecha v'lo sisa alav chen. We know the pasuk says in Parshas Kedoshim that when you give tochacha to a person, lo sisa alav chet. What does it mean, lo sisa alav chet? She be'ez she'adam mochiach es chavero, tzarech ledas shelo yagbiya alav es chet. Hainu lahagdi lachet. When you give tochacha to a person, the goal is to what? The goal is to pick the person up, and the goal is to inspire the person to change. And the goal is to move the person farther away from the sin. Not to make the sin, not to compound the sin by making the person feel worse and worse about the sin, which causes the sin to be so big, shegadol avonom minuso, that the weight of the sin becomes so burdensome that he doesn't know what to do with it. That's not helping a person. It's not creating any type of tikkun. When a person gives tochacha, right, lo sisa alav chet, don't pile the sin upon him. Ella, rather, where it's underlined, you say to such a person, you have a sheiches to the avos. You have to know who you come from, and you have to know who you are. Lasos dvarim keila. It's not fitting for a person who comes from such a fine stock to be involved in such behaviors. Shemedrigasa hulamala measos dvarim pechusim keila. You're a ben melech. You have to carry yourself in a certain way. You have to walk a certain way, you have to dress a certain way, you have to speak a certain way. It's because you're from the royal class, you're from the royal family. Right? The famous Vard from the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesivas Shalom quotes in many places, from the earlier Rebbe of Slonim. That how should a person give Musr to another person? What's the best way to give Musr? If you really want to, Ocheach Tochiach Es Am Yisecha, right? I think you can say a drash even on those words. Ocheach Tochiach Es Am Yisecha. Give Tocha by saying Es Am Yisecha. Right? S is always to connect. The Rabbos. So Es Am Yisecha, right? Give someone Tocha by saying, look at your Am, look at your people. Look who you are. But the Slonim Rebbe said, Musar Hashem Bini Al Timas. Pasuk in Mishlei. Right? The Musar of Hashem, my son, don't reject. That's what it literally means. Al Timas. Don't be disgusted by it. Someone gives you Musar, you should have an open ear to be Makabalit. But the Slonim Rebbe said, Musar Hashem, what is the Musar of Hashem? The best Musar you can give a person is Bini, is to say, you're a Ben Melech. Banu Matem L'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh, hey, you're Hashem's child. Al Timas, don't reject that. Realize who you are. Take pride in who you are. Right? It's not that I'm trying to make you feel bad. But if you had an appreciation for who you are, then you would live a life that's very different. So again, we have to kind of pick, and Mar Cheshvan is very, very much connected to this, as we'll see, and we'll talk further, maybe beyond today. That in Avodas Hashem, we have to decide: am I a Sur Meira type of Jew, or am I an Aseh Tov type of Jew? Well, it's not really a choice. We're all both, right? Sur Meira v'Aseh Tov. So how do you read that pasuk? Sur Meira v'Aseh Tov. Yeah, Jojo.
Machlis always says this all the time. That there's two ways you can read it. One way you can read it is by the way it's written.
Okay, so
you get away, but
get away from bad and then get involved in good.
But he says you should actually read the opposite way. You should read because he feels that when one does.
What's the other way? Say the other way. Those who don't know. So how do you read that in the pasuk though? Because the pasuk is swarmei ra v'asei tov.
Well, he says because when you do, you should do it as the other.
So sormeira, right? Sormeira v'aseh tov. Get away from negativity by right through aseh tov.
Doing good things.
Right. The truth is, Rabbah says that's the main way.
I think he says that's the better way.
So that's what all the Sfarim say, right? Not all the Sfarim. That's not true. I take that back. Not all the Sfarim say that, because if all the Sfarim said that, it wouldn't be a discussion, right? Some of the Sfarim read a kipshuto, but many, the majority approach of the Sfarim HaKadoshim. As the Sefer Menuchas HaNefesh brings various Maamar Makomos on this, on the different sides of this, and he says that the majority of the Sfarim HaKadoshim, starting with the Chiddush Harim, Shem Yishmuel has it in many places, right, is that the Ikar way is that second way. It's to focus on the positive. If we're going to spend time just beating ourselves up, especially in our generation, it doesn't work. It simply does not work. I went to a Shalom Zachar Friday night. Happens to be the child of a Kohen. So he asked me to speak at the Shalom Zachar, so I said over something that Rav Soloveitchik said in April of 1957, Parshas Metzora. The Rav said the following vart. I saw it this year over the Yom Nora. It's in the Machzor that they put out with Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. So it says there's such a beautiful vart. We know from Sefer Malachi that one of the primary roles of a Kohen is to do what? is to be responsible for the education of Klal Yisrael. That Kohanim are the ones who sit and learn. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah and Yovel. Right? And if anyone wants, you can join the Kohanim, you can join the Levim, you can be involved in Avodas HaKodesh. But primarily, they're the ones who are in charge of what? Of educating the Jewish people. That's the role of the Kohen. So the Rav said an amazing thing, and it's so interesting that the Rav said this, especially in 1957, because the Rav in 1957 was to be in the Rav's shir, right, was a pachad. So listen to what the Rav said. He said, if a person wants to be matzliach as an educator, why are the Kohanim entrusted with educating, and how does that connect it to the fact that the Kohanim are in charge of blessing Klal Yisrael? So the Rav said the answer is, look at the nusach of Birchas Kohanim. Look at the nusach of the bracha they make before they perform Birchas Kohanim. What's the bracha?
Ahava.
Right? Asher kidushanu b'kedushaso shel Aaron, levarech es am Yisrael ba'ahava. So Rav Soloveitchik said, it's haba hatalia. These two things are connected. The ability to be the educators of Klal Yisrael is directly connected to the Kohanim of having that koach of ahava, of that midah of ahava. Now you'll say, what do you mean? You find in other places, Kohanim are described as being very fiery. Kohanim is reason, right? Kohanim are sometimes a little bit zealous, right? But it's not a stira to their ahava. And it's dafka, Rav Soloveitchik said, if you want to educate someone, you're not going to be matzliach as an educator through coercion. You have to show your love for the learning. And then the person who you're trying to share that Torah with will also love the learning. And you show love for that person, right? As many have said, Oevas Abrios from a carbon la Torah. Why was Aaron so Aaron? Aaron is the shorish of all kahuna. Why was Aaron so popular, even more popular than Moshe Rabbeinu? That when Moshe dies, he does not get the same honor and appreciation from Klal Yisrael that Aaron got. Aaron was beloved by everyone, men, women, and children. Why? Because he had that midah bava. Oev shalom rodev shalom. Oevas Abrios from a carbon la Torah. If you show sincere love to a person, then you're able to bring them to Torah. Kipshuto. So again, we have to decide what path do we want to take? Do we want to be Sur Meirah Jews or Asei Tov Jews? We all have to be both. But as the Chiddush HaRim like to say, that a person who's Osik in Sur Meirah, it's like playing in the mud. Right? You're spending all this time focusing on your Averos. You're kicking up the dirt of your Averos. You're just making it more dirty sometimes. Sometimes it's better just to leave it behind and to just get into that realm of Asei Tov. So says Rav Shur. Let's go back to Rav Gedalia Shur. Okay, about 7 lines from the bottom of the first column. So again, there's two paths in Avodas Hashem. There's Sur Meirah, Lizbonin Begodel Achet. I can focus on the severity of the sin. V'asei Tov, she is bonin b'mayles hatov. Ve'izem adregus hu yochol lagia yidei asiyas hatov. Right? I can be Musar Hashem b'ni al timas. You're going to need to hear this heavy Musar and don't reject it. Or I can hear it, like the Slonim read it, Musar Hashem b'ni. Right? Just realize who you are. Realize the great madregos you could achieve. And then al timas, then you won't be attracted to these disgusting things. A person has to have big sheifos. Right? At the very least, maybe you'll make it halfway there. If you set the bar high, again, not unrealistically high to the point that it's depressing, set it high and know that even if I don't reach that pinnacle that I set for myself, but if I at least start off with a big sheifa, hopefully I can end up somewhere in the middle. I've told you guys in the past, Baruch Ber said about himself, Baruch Ber Leibowitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz. Baruch Ber Zatzal used to say that if I didn't set out to be like Rabbi Kiva Eger, I never would have become Rabbi Baruch Ber. I mean, he knew he was naive, he knew being Rabbi Kiva Eger, that's off the charts. But he said if I didn't strive to be Rabbi Kiva Eger, then I never would have become Rabbi Baruch Ber. So if we don't say, I'm going to be the next Avraham Avinu, I'm going to be the next Vilna Gaon, I'm going to be the next Baal Shem Tov. If I don't set the bar way high, right? If I'm happy with just like a very average type of thing, so again, where is that going to leave me at the end of the day? So says Rav Gedalia Shur. Let's say a person says, I have a she'ifa, I want to learn all of Shas. Right? Now, if the she'ifa is really, really strong, maybe he'll learn all of Shas. Maybe he'll get through half of Shas. But if he sets the bar much lower, so again, the return is also going to be that much lower. If you say, I'm only going to learn a little bit, so you're not even going to learn a little bit. So this is the standards we have to set for ourselves. Now, we know that Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, so much of what we're trying to do in Mar Cheshvan is to internalize everything that we've experienced over Tishrei. that it shouldn't be that we had a good time, we ran around in Tishrei, and we checked in these various checkpoints, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shemini Atzeres, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, Simchas Torah, right? We had all these great experiences, and now we come back and somehow we're still back here in lonely Washington Heights, trying to survive another day, right? But there has to be an absorption of all of the oros that we've experienced. Ni'ilah sachag, we're trying to lock it in, right? Ni'ilah means locking it in. So it says Rav Shor, it's very yisodistic. It's very there's no major chidushim here, but let's try to take it to heart because that's exactly what this is about. Uve emes gam, yeah, everyone see where we are, the second column. Uve emes gam kishnis ora adam besichlo machshavaso tzorhu lahashiv es ha'soyris el levavo k'maimer akosav yadat ayom vashivos el levecha. The idea has to enter one's heart. Tzorach lahashiv es libo k'dei she'kabel es ha'soyris shemocho. It can't just be a theoretical experience. It can't just be an intellectual arousal. It has to be something that enters my heart, and from my heart it's then pumped to the rest of my body, to the rest of my limbs. Ki bavada yesh metzias shezeh, shelev ha'adam, hutar mikol siyag upagam, mikol sig upagam, right? That the heart is refined from any dross, from any filth. She adias asecha levad poel alev ve'ein shum pirud ben alev ha'amalach aval etzleinu alev mitumtam uvi adias asecha levad lo dai ki yachol liyos la'adam yadios rabos aval yadios ha'elo einam mechayv mosol ha'maisa. A person could be a theoretical Jew for a long time. Spend your whole life being a theoretical Jew. Nu chaver, let's pause for a minute. I brought along my Divrei Yecheskel. Oh, I thought I did.
I did.
I brought along the Divrei Yecheskel. Divrei Yecheskel of Shinuf, the son of the Divrei Chaim. The Shinuf writes in Parshas Bereishis. He says, why is it that we call this past Shabbos Parshas Bereishis? Sorry. Shabbos Bereishis. Why do we call it Shabbos Bereishis? We don't call it Shabbos Noach. We don't call it Shabbos Lech Lecha. We don't call it Shabbos Chukas. There are certain Shabbosim that have a certain name to it. Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos Agadol, Shabbos Bereishis. That's how it's referred to in the Sfarim, and that's maybe how it's referred to in your Shul's newsletter. Right? It's Shabbos Bereishis. What is Shabbos Bereishis? What does that mean, Shabbos Bereishis? Why is it called Shabbos Bereishis? And this also answers the question, why is it that Bereishis is not synced with Rosh Hashanah? You would think, it would make a lot of sense, that Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, the new cycle of the Torah reading, should be aligned with Rosh Hashanah. Why is it not so? And why is it called Shabbos Bereishis? So he says, in the name of the Rebbe from Vizhnitsa. What's the Vizhnitsa? Da'inin kach. Debiyamim no ra'im hakadoshim kol adam hayalo az hirhor tshuva. During the Yom No'ram, every person had what? Had a hisoyrus, had a hirhor tshuva. V'kibel az al atzmo eza hanhagatova. There's no question that every single one of us thought between Elul and when we're getting back together now that I want to change something. I had a hero true, I want to do something. And you're makabel upon yourself. You're makabel upon yourself, I'm going to do something. It could be very big, it could be very small. Maybe a dafka should be very small. I saw such a beautiful vart, b'shem chacham echad. It didn't say who it was from. V'ayisa ach sameach. Listen to this vart. Yeah? We just finished very big days. Rosh Hashanah was big. Yom Kippur was big. The days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot are big. Sukkot is big. Right? Hoshana Rabbah is very big. Shemini Atzeres is very big. These are big days. Simchas Torah is very big. Now, the big days are over. Vayisa Ach Sameach. What does Ach mean? Whenever you have Ach in Shas, what does the Gemara say? The Ach in Verakin. Anytime you have the word Ach or Rak in a Pasuk, Lamai, right? It comes to minimize. So I saw b'shem chacham echad va'yisa ach sameach. Yeah, we just finished the big days, but va'yisa ach sameach. The achs of our life should also be a tremendous source of simcha. That the little kabbalas that we take upon ourselves, the little changes we want to make in our life, that's also a tremendous source of simcha. How such a little thing can make such a big difference? It's kabbalic. To make a small change, right? Like the Kotzker famously used to say, you can make an opening the size of the eye of a needle, but it has to be opened all the way, right? But to really make a real change, even if it's a tiny thing, realize what that could accomplish?
You would say, President?
Biederman brought that.
brings it also.
Vayis Asanayach?
When it comes to Shmiyat Seres. He says that. It says,
well, the Gemara says Ach L'Rabos, right? So everyone asks Ach is usually L'mai.
He says that because. Why is it? It says that because on Shmiyat Seres, we're so. The whole Sukkot was Zman Simchas Tehillim because of the Arba Minim and because of the Sukkah. We have all these mitzvahs added. And then,
so now we put aside these things.
And then he's saying that we should bring, with those mitzvahs, we should add. We should bring the Simcha into Shmiyat Seres. That we don't really. I mean, I guess we have a Kafos. I understand it from there.
But without all of the outer mitzvos that we have, that's what the Vilna Gaon said also. Yeah, it's on the last page of the Rav Biederman Tishrei volume. Va'iza ach samech. He says b'shem chacham echad that the ach should be samech also. There's an amazing mashal that Rav Dessler used to give. This is a great mashal. Rav Dessler said, imagine a person comes to Midtown Manhattan for the first time, and they're standing in front of these massive buildings. So they're saying, wow, must be a major job to get to the top floor. They say, no, we have an elevator, come. Elevator, what's that? So the guy gets in this box, right? And he says, just push the button, you'll be on the top floor. Push the button, you'll be on the top floor. The guy's standing in the elevator, doesn't push the button. Standing by himself in the elevator. The door is closed. You know, he hears the hum of the motor. Nothing's happening, he's looking around. Never been in one of these boxes before. Right? All of a sudden, you know, he's standing there, didn't push the button, so the elevator starts to go into, like, sleep mode. You know, the lights go off in the elevator, and the hum of the motor quiets down. All of a sudden, he's panicking. He thinks he's trapped in his bike, he's banging on the door, get me out of this thing! Screaming! Someone comes on the other side. Ding! You know, the door is slide open, the lights are back on. What's the problem? I told you to push the button. Guy gets in, he pushes the button, and he goes straight to the top of the building. He says, I don't understand, I told you, just push the button, you'll be at the top of the building. So the guy says, listen, I've never been on one of these devices before. He says, it doesn't make sense to me that just pushing a little button is going to take me to the top of this skyscraper. So I figured this must be like a magical box. This box doesn't operate in any rational way. If pushing a little button gets me to the top of the building, I would think to get to the top of this building, I need hiking gear and I need, you know, a scale the side of the building. But pushing a little button is going to get me to the top of the building. I figured if the box operates in this supernatural way, why should I bother to even push the button? I stood here in the elevator, I was thinking to myself, I want to be on the top of the building, I want to be on the top of the building, I want to be on the top of the building. I figured that was as realistic as pushing a button and getting to the top of the building. So the guy says, you're a fool, you don't understand how this works. So if that's what used to say, we spend all this time, it's exactly what Divrei Yecheskel is saying here. I didn't tell you the punchline yet. Divrei Yecheskel says, we spent a lot of time being mekabel upon ourselves. We had hirhurei tshuva. We had a lot of thoughts over the last month, what do I want to do? How do I want Tavshin Ayin Vav to look? Yeah? And we were mekabel upon ourselves to do things. But unfortunately, Lamaisa, most of us haven't done it yet. Whatever it is that we said we were going to do, we want to work on, we haven't really done it yet. And even if we have done it, we haven't done it enough. And we're already starting to stop doing it, whatever it was that we said we're going to work on. Right? Lachein Nikra Shabbos Bereishis. So we say, this is Shabbos Bereishis. This answers the question, why is Bereishis not synced with Rosh Hashanah? Because Hashem wants us to realize that after all the party's over, and you've put away your sukkah decorations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to realize, guess what, Bereishis, now it's time to really get started. Now it's time to really get started? Yes. Shema Azkirin La'adam, Shema She'avar Avar, U'me'at Damaschel Seder Chodesh, V'yishtadol Esatvo She'yame'at Atov. Now it's time to get started. No longer the theoretical, you know, Judaism. But to really start to do. Not just to ride the train through the cycle of the calendar year. You know, we come around, oh, it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we travel around, we keep just going in circles. Just keep going in circles. What's Simchas Torah? What's the celebration of Simchas Torah? What are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? We're celebrating the completion, right? So we think we're celebrating the completion. You know why we think that? Because that's what Chazal tell us. Chazal mislead us. They send us into a trap. They said, Shlomo HaMelech celebrated his knowledge. From here we learn that we make a celebration for the Goyim Roshel Torah, for the completion of Torah. However, there's no completion of Torah. There's a sefer called the Ezer Eliyahu. Ezer Eliyahu is by a Talmud of the Kotzker. He writes by Simchas Torah. Listen to this. On page 410. We say in the piyut of Simchas Torah, for those who say the piyutim in the back of the Siddur, Agil v'esmach b'simchas Torah. I will celebrate and I will rejoice with the Simcha of Torah. He says, Agil ends in a lamid, v'esmach ends in a ches, b'simchas ends in a tof, Torah ends in a hay, so fe tevas osios tchila. The Sofei Tevos of these four words, Tchila, meaning what? Ki chas v'shalom ein l'smoach v'lomar shekvar gomar v'hishlim ha-Torah. A Jew doesn't celebrate the completion of Torah. Ki ein l'keitz v'sof v'racham v'tzesechem od. There's no such thing as the completion of Torah. We're not celebrating completing the Torah. So what are we celebrating on Simchas Torah? Chaval, you didn't see this right before Simchas Torah. What are you celebrating? You know what he says? Rak tzrichin l'smoach shebizchus shezachinu l'hashlim al yedei zeh nizcha l'haschil. Is that the celebration of Simchas Torah, we're happy we're done with the Torah because that gives us the opportunity to start again. That's what we're celebrating. Shabbos Bereishis, we get to start again. After all of the Haschalah, so after all the Rosh Hashanah, which was Haschalah, and Yom Kippur, which was Haschalah, Rosh Hashanah Rab, which was Haschalah, after all of the Hischadshus, we come to Shabbos Bereishis and we start again. And that's what we're celebrating. To make sure that what? That we're not just completing the Torah and that we're doing it again the same way. There's such a good line that I think from the Rugas Abosim. There's a sefer called the Sichos Kodesh from Rav Naiman, who was the Paparov in Montreal. So he has a line in there. He said, I think he says that the Rugas Abosim, when he would make a siyam on a mesechta, he didn't like the nusach of the Hadron. You know why? Because what do we say in the Hadron? Kishem, just as I was Messiah this mesechta, so too I hope to what? To Messiah mesechtos usfar macher. So he said, I don't like the nusach. You know why? He says, because, what do you mean? Just as I was Messiah this mesechta, so too I should Messiah another mesechta? I want to Messiah another mesechta better. I don't want to do just as I made the siyam on this mesechta. Just like I learned Bamitzia, I want to learn Bamitzia much better than I learned Bamitzia. And when I learned Bamitzia again, I want to learn Bamitzia better than I learned it last time. So you didn't like that, Kishem. Just as I finished this, just like I learned this one, I want to learn the other one on the same Madriga. No, I want to be on a totally different Madriga.
What did he say?
I don't know what he changed it to. But he didn't like it. It bothered him. The Nusach bothered him. What do you mean, Kishem, just as? There's no just as. Every day is a better day. I'm a different person from one day to the next. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful that when you come out of the Yom Noram, it's not just I came out of Yom Noram last year, and I came out of Yom Noram the year before, and I'm just riding the train, I'm getting a little, I'm getting a little hisoris for a couple of seconds, but then I just go back, and I'm the same Jew year after year after year. You can't live like that. You can't live like that. There was a Rosh Yeshiva from Kfar Chasidim. His name was Rav Elio Mishkovsky. He was once at a wedding. He was standing at a wedding, and he was not a particularly emotional person. He's standing at a wedding, he's watching the dancing, he's watching the bachim, it was a real hisragshus. Everyone was, really into it. All the friends of the chasam were dancing wildly. And then she was standing on the side, and all of a sudden he starts to cry. Now he was like not an emotional person. They were very surprised. So one of the older bachim felt comfortable, goes over to the Shiva and says, everything okay? And you're feeling it? Shiva feeling okay? He said, I noticed that she was crying. But she says, I don't want to take away from the simcha, but he says, I just was makabel a tremendous musar. He says, what is it? He says, I was watching the dancing. You know, we're Jews, we dance in a circle. And he said, it was very painful when I realized that circle dance is like a lot of many people's lives. That you have people just, you're moving forward, and you're moving forward, and you're moving forward, and the circle moves, and it moves. But you're not actually getting anywhere. And you just go round and around and around and around and around. And he said, and even those bachim were jumping really high, right? Those who were like lifting themselves off the ground, they were also still trapped in that circle. And he says, I realized I have to be so careful in my own life, right? To make sure that I'm not just living the same, routine day in and day out. Like the Ramchal says, the Yom Tovim are on a circle, but it's a spiral. Right? Meaning that every year it's supposed to get higher and higher and higher. It's not just the same Yom Kippur. It's not just the same Simchas Torah. It's supposed to go higher and higher. Well, someone got me a clock this year for my sukkah. Like a real clock. It was cool. Hands. Like a real clock. Very nice. So I put in the sukkah. Put a battery in. Put in the sukkah. It was geschmack. I was like, wow. Teshu came to do, You have a clock in your house. You have a clock in the sukkah. Hung it up on the wall. Made sure it was secure. By the first night of Sukkot, already the clock wasn't working. The minute hand got stuck. It was like a little bit bent. It got stuck on the hour hand. So when I took down the sukkah, I put the clock down on my counter, and I'm looking at this clock, and the clock's going like this. The minute hand's like twitching. You know, like when a clock gets stuck and it's like just trying to like get somewhere and it's not getting anywhere. And I'm thinking about this story with Rav Eliyahu Mishkovsky when he was watching the Bachurim dancing in a circle, not getting anywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, holy cow, for the last 8-9 days, right? I paused for a second. I said, from the time I put up the sukkah to I put this clock on the wall to the time that it stopped working, which was pretty shortly thereafter, right? I was trying to think, what where have I been the last 8 or 9 days? Where have I gone? Where have I danced? Where have I learned? Where have I davened? What have I experienced? Who have I spent time with? Who have I learned from? Who have I had the opportunity to teach? Right? What svarim did I look at? Who did I hang out with? And then I was thinking about this clock, this nebuch, this clock. I was sitting on my wall, right, for those 8-9 days, and just trying to like, desperately trying to like move forward, and not getting anywhere. And I had such a rachmanis on the clock, I reached down to the little minute hand, and I freed it from its captivity, and immediately it started going again. But I said to myself, it's such a musr, that there's times where we think, you know, we're pushing ahead, we're not getting anywhere. We have to be so careful to make sure that we get somewhere. To make sure that we're not just going in circles. So, Chevra, what's the answer to this problem? How do you actually get somewhere? So, the answer is what the Rebbe Chesel was saying. You got to do something. You can't. Shabbos Bereishis means, no, start doing. Start doing something real. Push the button. Rav Dessler's mashal. Don't believe that, well, pushing the button is not actually going to do anything. That little change, let the little thing be big. Celebrate the little success. Because pushing that button can get you to the top of the elevator, and standing there thinking, how would I get to the top of this, you know, the top of the skyscraper? Standing there thinking, how am I going to get there? Well, pushing the button's about as unrealistic as just thinking about it, so I might as well just think about it. And we become theoretical Jews. We spend our whole lives thinking about what we want to do. And we don't actually have a tachas, we don't have a tafkid. We're not trying to do something. We have to live with a sense of urgency, that we need to do something, and we need to do it fast. Rav Pinkus, in the Sukkos volume, tells a story about his mother when she went for surgery in Los Angeles. She was having a bone in her leg was really worn down, and they needed to put in like a steel beam replacement. The procedure was supposed to take a couple hours. After like 4 or 5 hours, the doctor still hadn't come out of the room. The family was very nervous. Pinkus was describing. It was his mother. So he said, "What happened?" They finally came out. Everything was fine. I said, "What happened?" They said, "When we were operating on your mother's leg, we realized that there was a particular steel beam, a piece that we needed. We thought, you know, whatever it was, they were taking off part of her bone and they were replacing it with this steel piece. They realized they needed another piece that they didn't have in the hospital. So they called to another hospital, which is about 25 minutes away, to get the piece sent over." So I said, "Yeah, okay, so that's 25 minutes. Well, what happened? It was an extra 3 hours." So he says, "We're so sorry. Here's what happened. When the order got placed, right, they didn't tell the driver that this woman's in the middle of surgery now. So the driver didn't realize it was an emergency. So the driver got on the highway. It happens to be there was terrible traffic that day in Los Angeles, and he sat in traffic for 2 hours. Instead of realizing this woman was lying on the surgical table waiting for this piece to complete the surgery." Right? So it took the driver 2 hours instead of the usual, you know, 25 minutes to get here. If he would have known it was pressing, then he would have gotten onto the shoulder and would have been here in 25 minutes. So Pinkus says, as Jews, we have to live that way. We have to realize we can't just go in the flow of traffic. We don't have time to schlep. We have to get to where we're trying to get, because today's Sar Liakov. It's happening in the world today. We got to move. There's no time to sit in traffic. So we have to figure out how do we get somewhere. It's not enough to just be going in circles. Listen to this Chassam Sofer. Have a listen to this. This is beautiful. Chassam Sofer in Parshas Chukas. Yeah? Pasuk in Tehillim Yud Beis. Soviv Rishaim Yishalachun. Kerum Zulus Levnei Adam. Soviv Rishaim Yishalachun. What does it mean? Rishaim walk in circles. Right, Kirum, when they elevate Zulus Levnei Adam, when they elevate that which is Zol, that which is cheap, the cheapness of mankind, when we focus on the wrong things, then the Russia gets stuck walking in a circle. Listen to this. Kibnei Adam Holchim Schor Schor. People sometimes, and again, that you have to come out of Yom Noram, you have to have a goal. You can't come back, you're not welcome to come back to Shir until you have a goal. It could be a small goal, but you have to have a goal. You have to have a goal from our Cheshvan. Forget the whole year. Let's have a goal from our Cheshvan. No, I'm serious. You have to have a goal for a cheshvan. Otherwise, you went wherever you went. Many of us, some went to Eretz Yisrael, some went other places. You can't come back and just like, yeah, we had a good time. And now we're just back. What's the goal? Tafke, tachlis. What's the goal? Ki bnei adam holchin schor schor. People sometimes, Rishayim especially, right? Again, the pasuk says, saviv Rishayim yis halachim. The Rasha walks in circles. Because sometimes, says the Chassam Sofer, people are walking schor schor, ochlin vishos. We eat and we drink. Why do we eat and drink? You know this conversation? He said, why do you eat and drink? I eat and drink so I can have strength. I can be healthy. I need to be able to be able-bodied. Laharbos kalach begufa. Why do you need kalach for your guf? Well, to be able to do my job. Lasok b'masu matan. So I can go to work. Yeah, and why do you go to work? Voskim b'masu matan. Shielahem mazo k'dei tzarcham. I go to work so that I can have money, so I can buy food. So I can be healthy, so I can go back to work. So I can have more money, so I can buy more food. Yeah, you hear how this goes? V'zeu hiluch ha-svivi she'ein lo tachlis mechuvan. Listen to the words of the Halakha Chassam Sofer. A person could be walking in circles with no tachlis. V'uchozer chalila la'olam. Marvichim kadei l'malos bitnam sava. Right? They go around in circles just to enjoy another trip to the bar, another trip to the restaurant, to eat in order to work, to eat, to work, to eat, to work. Yeah? What's going to be the end of such a cycle? Lo kein ba'ovdei Hashem. Shebeshavdim gufam lahosif koach ba'avodas Hashem. Not so. A Jew who what? Who does for what purpose? To serve Hashem. It says in the footnotes here, it quotes from the grandson of Chassam Sofer. He said, I heard it from my grandfather even more clearly. He says like this, Saviv Rasham Yis Halachun. Perish. I heard it from my grandfather Chassam Sofer. Sha Rasham Hochim Tamid B'ma'agal. The Rishon walk in circles, v'lo yagiu l'tachlis hanirtza, and they never get to the tachlis. Heim ochlim l'man yuchel l'avod. They eat in order to work, v'ovdim l'man yasviu, and then they work in order to be able to eat again. It's very pathetic, no? It's pathetic. But we have to make sure that we don't become the same people. We have to go from those circles of Simchas Torah and make sure that those circles actually produce something. That it's not just walking in circles. You can't just walk in circles. However, we can't just walk in circles. We can't be like that clock on my wall that got stuck just going like this. Trying to get somewhere, shuckling, not getting anywhere. You have to get somewhere, you have to have a goal. You have to have a goal. You have to have a real practical goal. What do you want to accomplish? How are you going to get there? The whole avodah of a Jew in this world is to take a circle and to turn it into a square. Heard such an idea? The entire mission of a Jew in this world is v'dibarta ba. Right? No? V'dibarta ba. The Gemara says in Maseches Yoma, I think it's Daf Yotes, v'dibarta ba v'lo b'dvarim acherim. Right? Speak in them and not in anything else. Speak words of Torah and nothing else. V'dibarta ba v'lo b'dvarim acherim. Pashut, v'dibarta Torah. Speak in Torah, talk in Torah. The avodah of a Jew is to take a circle and to turn it into a square. V'dibarta bam. If you look at the word bam, right? The avod is to take a base, which is closed on three sides, and to turn it into a mem sofi, which is closed on four sides. The goal is to take everything in the world which is round. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that everything in this world, there's nothing in this world that's perfectly square, and it's our job to try to square it out. Now I know it sounds like a very strange idea, right?
The Talmud says it's our job to square it out, or that's...
No, the Yerushalmi says there's nothing in the world that's perfectly square. But the Sfarim talk about this idea of taking a round world and making it square. V'dibarta ba'am, building that fourth wall, completing the square. There's a lot to talk about. I don't want to go into it now. It's a whole sugya. I don't want to go, but I'll just tell you like this. I'll tell you bekitzer.
Bekitzer,
when a Jew is doing the right thing, he's squaring out circles. When a Jew is doing the wrong thing, he's putting a circle around the square. So for example, when we do our akafos around the mizbech is square, and we do a circular route around the mizbech, right? And we're saying Rabbono Shalom, we've made some mistakes, right? So yes, we're saying, yes, we've put a circle around the square. We've put more gashmias into... We're trying to make the world. We're trying to square out the world, Hashem. That's what you want us to do. And unfortunately, we're making more circles.
Why does Yigulim represent gashmias, though?
Okay. So we have to work on it. But again, based on what we've seen, from the story of Rav Eliyahu Mishkovsky and from the Chassam Sofer, right? And from my clock, you can't get stuck in a... Getting stuck in a circle is a very dangerous thing. And it's a very real concern when you go through the calendar year. that you just get stuck. That, yeah, Yom Kippur, I know I'm supposed to do an Yom Kippur. And then what happens after Yom Kippur? May I change Jew? After Simchas Torah, may I change Jew? Do I complete the Torah and start again with a new Yisra'akshus, like the Ezer Eliyahu told us? Is it Shabbos voracious, tachlis, let's do something? Or is it just schlepping along and riding the train? Just riding the train, going round and round.
Why?
I don't want to get into circles and squares right now. Let's go back to the Orgadalio for a few minutes.
Why?
Because I don't. Yeah, maybe on Hanukkah.
It was in the Maharal, right?
Hanukkah.
What did you say?
It was in the Maharal, right?
Maharal, not that I know of. I mean, there are Sfarim that talk about... Yeah, there's Eagle and there's Yosher. And Judah knows more about it than I do. I don't know what it's about. But the point is, Yosha, you gotta get right. A square has lines. That's the point. You gotta get somewhere.
So why do we dance in a circle?
Okay, that's a good question.
Maglev,
that's a good question.
Pretty hard to dance in a square.
Yes, sir.
You're saying there's a circle of kedusha, though. No, Rebbe.
Yeah, of course there's a circle of kedusha. The circle of tzaddikim less love is a circle of. Okay, circle's not always bad. But we want to square out a circle. That's the avoda. Take my word for it for now. We'll talk about it more. But the point I'm trying to make is the circle is dangerous.
Why is it a Hanukkah thing?
The circle could be a dangerous thing. So that's why, because Yavan's going after Galgal. He gets stuck in the circle. He gets stuck in Teva. He gets stuck in the regular order of things. That's why the real menorah, right? See, Chabad menorah is always our straight, right? Straight lines. Not round in menorahs.
That's Rashi versus
Rambam. Right, that's the real menorah. That's the real menorah. We have evidence that the real menorah was straight lines.
Yeah.
But the Svarim Talk, the Vacharav, used to explain that part of that, yeah, part of breaking that circle. We don't want to get stuck in the circle. The circle is bad. The circle has a place, but the circle is bad.
Close and level.
We have to. When the circle is done, when the circle dance is over, the end of Simchas Torah. Now we. It's time to get out of the circle. You can't get stuck in the circle. Again, that's a David Melech saying in Tehillim Yud Beis. That Rishon go in circle, they walk in the circle, they don't get it, there's no tafkid to their life. It's just passing through. A Jew has to have a goal. A Jew has to have a purpose. Okay, let's read a little more. Let's read a little more in the Orgadalia. Yeah, so the goal, again, so all that was done with what he's saying here, which is what? V'yadata yom v'shevos l'vavecha. Where it's underlined. Because again, it's possible for a person to have yedios rabos, a lot of knowledge, or even a lot of experiences, and what? Aval yedios eilo eina mechayv mosol lemaitzeh. He's not doing anything with it. So very nice. I had a whole month of hisoris. And now what? V'zeo mitzvah sasei amuta al adam v'yedat ayom v'shevos al avavecha. The avoda is to take that which we know, and to take it to heart, to live with it. Like the famous line from the Kotzker. Chazal say in the Yerushalmi and Brachos, maybe some other places also, that the distance between heaven and earth is a 500-year journey. It's very far. But the distance between your brain and your heart is even farther. The goal is the beginning of the year, Tishrei. It's the Rosh. It's the Malach. But now we have to make sure that what? That the Malach and the heart get together. That's a very chashuv line. I'm going to read it again. You see where it's underlined? I was reading in an English book recently that if someone uses the expression, right, I believe in God, but, then you don't really believe in God. If there's ever a but at the end of your statement, right, I want to keep Shabbos, but, no, then you don't really want to keep Shabbos. You don't really want to, and you don't really believe in Shabbos. Right? No one says, well, I know this fire is hot, but... No, your knowledge of the fire being hot is mechayiv you not to put your hand in the fire. You can't... That's the idea. So if the idea is sincere, right? It's not yadata ayom, and additionally, v'ashevos el vavecha. Yadata ayom, You should know it with the same clarity as Hayom, as you know the day itself. Right? And then automatically, Vashivos Lovavecha. Then in accordance with the Behiras Hayadiya, Aziyadiya Mashpia Alev. If it's real to you, of course you have to live with it. It can't be, yeah, I believe in God, but it's a pagam. Any avera that you do is a pagam in your amunah. You ever think of it like that?
Yeah.
Any avera that you do is a pagam in your amunah in Hashem. Because if you really believed in Hashem, if you really believed He was watching you, if you really believed that He had expectations of you, if you really believed that He gave you your life and could take it away in a second, then you wouldn't do those averos. So a moment of chet is a moment of a lack of amunah. It's a moment where I say, I believe in God, but. So then your belief is not an absolute belief. Because an absolute belief is machai of a person. If the idea is behira, says Rav Gedalia Shor, then the idea is mashpia alev. It does, it creates. Ukvi behira say idea, keiru kabbalas alev. Yeah? He goes to the Gemara in Brachos. Ganva apum machtarta rachmana karya. You know this line? What does it mean? Gemara in Brachos? The ganav. Apum machtarta at the mouth of the tunnel, right? Rachmana karya. He calls out to Hashem, meaning what? As the ganav is tunneling in under your house to steal your jewels, right? To steal your wife's jewelry, right? As he's davening over the mission. Hashem, you should help me. I should be successful. I should be able to rob this person and get out without getting caught. The pranasa depends upon this, right? Such a funny thing. V'ilu hayu lahaganav hazeh amuna b'kadosh baruch hu, azlo hayu goniv klal. But ganav, if you really believed in Hashem and Hashem's responsible for all of your parnasa, you wouldn't need to be a ganav. V'chazal amar sheganav b'machteres ba'al iskei nefashos. V'afal pichin v'spal Hashem yisbarach shelo yitfesu. Ki yediya zu shel haganav hu rak yediya hamakif hasa'adam. Aval inu yediya ba'etza. The ganav knows Hashem enough to be able to daven to Him, but not enough to stop being a ganav. Anytime we do an aver, we're ganavim. We're stealing the kochos that Hashem gave us to serve Him. We're using it for our own purposes. Ki ilu haisel yediya ba'etzem lo haya ba.
That's a circle.
Lemaizim keilu. Yeah, what's the circle?
Yediya hamakif.
Right. It's yediya hamakif. It's a superficial understanding. Exactly. It surrounds him, but it doesn't enter him. And that's the whole avodah of all these days. The avodah of these days. I listened to a short shiur from Rabbi Chaim Eisenstein the other day. And he quoted from Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. You know Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro? Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, not Moshe Shapiro. Right? And not Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro is the Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He's Rosh Shiva of a yeshiva called Ber Yaakov. We have some of his farm. Very, very special personality. So he says, he explains so beautifully, he says the process of the Yom Noran is getting deeper and deeper connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First it's what? It's Lefnei Hashem Titaru. Right? First you're standing before Hashem, you're in the presence of Hashem. Then you're what? Then you're Im Hashem, then you're with Hashem. Then you come to the pinnacle of Shmini Atzeres, that private moment, the Yichud, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's what? Where it's chai olam nata b'sochenu, right? It's banu. It's no longer just in the presence of Hashem. It's no longer being with Hashem, right? But it's bamash being one with Hashem. It's being fully connected to Hashem. So you're right, like Judah said, this ganav, his knowledge is only makif. It surrounds him on the outside. He has an external awareness of Hashem, but it doesn't penetrate into his heart. He's not living with Hashem. And if he's not living with Hashem, he's still going to be a ganav. He'll talk to Hashem, but he's still going to be a ganav. And as funny as that Gemara sounds, it's the story of every one of our lives. That we talk to Hashem, we daven to Hashem, and then we steal a little bit here, a little bit there. But again, that's a pagam in our emunah. It can't be, I believe in Hashem, but. There can't be a but. Ukishayesh, top of the next page. La'odim bihiras hadas. We're not going to do the whole thing, so don't get nervous. For those who are saying we still have 3 pages to go. Let's move a little. When a person has a bihiras hadas, as the idea mashpia al alev, umisgab al ritzonas alev. Yeah? Good. Okay. Halavana asher ora holich umismai. When we look at the moon, we see that the moon waxes and wanes. Hakol tali b'midas kabbalas or min hashemesh. And the moon is makabel. Chal Yisrael is compared to the Levant. Meramiz la'adam asher hu tzorech la'or es atzom b'chol yom v'yom. Ki b'li es chachos b'chol yom nismai ta'es ores shel ha'lev shekibol kvar mehamalach. The sun is the malach, the moon is the lev. And therefore we need to constantly be receiving. Ukamosha Levana Ora Holich Bechaser Vishuv Nismale, in the same way that the moon doesn't allow those moments of smallness to stop it from getting big once again. Keina Adam Tzarach Ladas Shiyachol is Ora Tamud Ulachadish Ha'ara Belibo. A person also has to understand, yes, there's a cycle of life, but the cycle can't be a boring cycle. Someone once said to me, listen, I have two types of friends. This was like, you know, a few years out of Eretz Yisrael. He said, I have two types of friends from high school. He says, I have friends who are exactly the same as they were in high school. And then I have friends who changed a lot. Now, in the category of those who changed a lot, there's a range. Right? There's those who changed a lot who became much more religious, much more committed, Baruch Hashem. He said, I have friends who became a lot crazier and a lot less committed. And, you know, they're involved in a lot more Olam Hazeh. He says, but in some way, I feel more connected to those friends who are involved passionately in negativity than those who guys are just like still parf, who are just riding the train, who are just not changing at all. Because at least, what was he saying? I really feel a connection. I'm proud of my friends who are like on a college campus doing like hardcore drugs. That's what I'm proud of, because they're passionate about it. What was he saying? What he was saying was, at least the person who is passionate about something, who wants to be something, right? Okay, so I'll have a big nefila, but I'll also have big aliyahs. And there's a potential that he's passionate about negativity, he could be passionate about positivity. But a person who's parv is always going to be parv. How do you break the cycle of being parv? Yeah.
I learned somewhere that, like, if you look at a lot of the Baal Tshuvas in the Haredi world or whatever it is, a lot of them are those kind of guys that were passionate
right.
about, like, rock and roll or
exactly.
whatever, and they just peered that passion towards.
The most interesting people that you meet, right, is a firm person who has some, like, crazy past. Why? You see, they're a person who's living life. Okay, so they were living life in a shallow way, but they were living large. They were trying to be something. So again, Klal Yisrael is compared to the moon. The moon doesn't get frustrated by the setbacks. The moon doesn't get paralyzed by the nefilos. The moon picks itself up and renews itself. Mischadish. Kein haldem tzarach ladas sheyochol is ora tamur lechadish ha'ara belibo. V'tzarach lahavin ki beli es oris nismai tachizik shekibal makal me'amashpia. But you can't just allow, right? You can't just charge up in Tishrei and then just drift. It's not going to work. It's going to start to dissipate, and you have to re-energize. V'lachein be'erev Rosh Chodesh shalavana b'mi'uta nisorer adam lechezron nefesh v'nisorer shetzorach keseder lechadish asma. And therefore, again, he's explaining the idea of Yom Kippur Katan, is that I pause before the new month, when the moon is at, so to speak, its low point, and I say, hold on a second, I need to have a source. Sometimes I'll something very low is over a person to something very high. I said yesterday at Shalash Shuras, there's a Shemi Shmuel on yesterday's Parsha. But the Shemi Shmuel is describing how Shalash Shuras is like Ne'ila. Right? The same way there's a feeling again of urgency by Ne'ila, there's a feeling of urgency by Shalash Shuras. But listen to what he says, it's very beautiful. He says, how does Shalash Shuras become Rava de Rav? Why is Shalash Shuras so great? Where does Shalash Shuras get its energy from? What motivates a Jew to feel so connected at the end of Shabbos, at Shalash Shuras? You know what it is? What's energizing him? What's the cause of his Asaurus? You know what the cause of his Asaurus is? The days of Chol. The cause of his Asaurus is this paralyzing fear that, oh my gosh, Shabbos is almost over, and now I'm back to my regular week. And that fear of being unprepared for the week is what causes those final moments of Shabbos to become so precious. So Shem Shmuel says, so look, it's really the 6 days of the week that are responsible. It's so funny. The thing that's the farthest from Shabbos is the thing that's responsible for creating the best moments of Shabbos. And therefore, how did the 6 days of the week get paid back? Shabbos, right. Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, gives back some of its energy to the 6 days of the week. But again, that fear, that terrible fear of being low of the week, right, is what energizes Shabbos. So says Rav Gedalia Shur, right, when you come to Erev Rosh Chodesh, when the Levana is b'miuta, that itself causes a Hesaurus. When a Jew looks at himself and says, you know what, what happened? It was Tishrei and I was in a certain place, and now it's my Cheshvan and I'm not feeling in that place. Right? But a Jew has to be proactive about that. He has to do something about that. He has to try to reawaken himself. Amru Chazal, the Gemara says in Chulin, Samach Amin Beis. Amru Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heviu Alai Kapara, Al Shmiat Thias Hireach. We know that the Sayer of Rosh Chodesh, the Sayer Chatas La Hashem, is a carbon that's brought not just to Hashem, but for Hashem. Hashem says, bring a Kapara for me. Hashem, you need a Kapara? Yeah, because I minimize the moon, I diminish the moon. To try to understand what that means, Hashem needs a kapara. Hashem messed up. Hashem did an avera. What does that mean? We need a few introductory comments. Hashem creates light. Hashem creates good. Hashem creates bad. What does that mean? Brias hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates ra. Ve'inyan brias hara yesh bo kama tachlisim. First of all, Hashem needs to create negativity to give man free will. And only by choosing good against the backdrop of evil can a person truly earn his place in this world. But there's another very valuable aspect to negativity. The negativity creates the possibility of good. It puts into motion, the same way that the 6 days of the week create Shalosh Shuras, so too everything bad in the world creates good in the world. How so? Shayidei Masha Adam Roas Godel Hara. When you see how evil the world can be, Vasakana Gadola Asher Yesh Bahara, whom is Or Lilchum Negadara. That sometimes shakes you up and inspires you to become more passionate about fighting against evil. The other day, I was starting to realize, I don't know a lot of things about the world. And I'm not always up to date on what's happening in the world at large. But I was curious the other day, I don't know why, I got very curious about, I mean, I know there's a civil war, there's a lot of fighting going on in Syria. I was curious, what's really going on in Syria? So I decided to find out what's really going on in Syria. So I sat down and I was reading up on the civil war in Syria, trying to understand the evil that's taking place in the world. And it is so crazy what's happening there. It's so crazy. Literally hundreds of thousands of people have been killed in the last couple of years. There's basically like a three-way war going on. Right? There's like the evil Syria government. And then there's the, you know, Free Syria Army, who's trying to fight for basic human rights that most of us take for granted. And then there's, you know, the Rasham of ISIS, Yimach Shemo Mizichem, who are trying to chaperain while everyone else is fighting and take over territory. And it's mamish crazy what's going on there. It's so crazy. It's such a crazy world. But I'll tell you, after reading about how crazy and sad the world was, I had a tremendous thesaurus to be a better yid. Right? Obviously, everything taking place in Eretz Yisrael makes you want to be a better yid. But just what's taking place in the world. That's what Rav Gedalia Shor is saying here. Against the Kodesh Baruch Hu allows the world to be very bad to inspire you to want to be very good. And that's part of the final Birurim before Mashiach comes. The world's going to get really bad in order for those of us whose brains are and hearts are turned on to want to be really good. Because I'm really bothered. I can't just, you know, schlep around and just do my thing. I have to look at the world that's completely out of control and say, I have to do something. And I have to know what I stand for. I want to tell you an amazing... Can I have a Chumash Bereishis for a second? I want to tell you an amazing... You have to know this Rav Gifter. You think it's by chance? You think Hashem worked it out? By chance that we would read the first Rashi... With everything going on in Eretz Yisrael, that we would dafka have to chazer this Rashi this past Shabbos. No, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Lo hayatzarach la'atzra z'Torah ela me'achodesh z'alachem. Where should the Torah begin? Achodesh z'alachem, start with mitzvos. Why does the Torah start with Bereishis? Bishum koach ma'isiv higid la'amo. L'seis lam nachlas goyim. Pasuk in Tehillim. The power of his acts he told to his people in order to give them the estate of the nations. If you say, you Jews occupied Palestine as if there ever was a Palestinian people and as if there ever was a Palestinian state, as if it really was theirs all along. Lies. You saw this latest lie?
Which one?
About this suffix of the Beis Hamikdash ever stood on Har Havayis.
Yeah.
So if the Umas Olam, it's laughable. If the Umas Olam claim listim atem shekivashim artzel shivagayim, you conquered Canaan. It was never yours. Never meant to be yours. Hey, Moav Lahem, what will we say to them? They, the Jewish people, say to them, Kol haaretz shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Let's go back to the beginning. Bereishis bara Elokim. There's a God in heaven. He created the world. He gives it to one who's proper in his eyes. So you'll say, well, but there was a period of time when the nations of the world had this land. If Hashem wants, He gives it to them. And if He wants, He takes it from them. And He gives it to us. But His real plan was to give it to us, and it's obvious. Look how the land itself, look how the dirt itself responds to the Jewish people. Like no other nation. Yeah? So, Chavra, you read this Rashi. What's the question? Rav Gifter in his Pirkei Torah has such an important yesod in this Rashi. So this is the solution to the Mideast crisis, right? All you have to do, you get on CNN and you say, "Listen, everyone, relax, relax." Right? You say, our cousins, our dear Yishmaelim, our long lost cousins, please put down your knives. We have a simple solution to the Mideast process. It's a Rashi and Chumash. Hashem empowered us. Hashem empowered us. Said, "Listen, Mr. Yishmael, come sit with me a second. Look here. It says Bereishis bara Elokim Eitz Hashemayim Veis Haaretz. God created the world, and God likes us, so He gave us the land. Oh, that's it. That's the whole thing. Okay, great. Problem solved. Problem solved. Shalom al Yisrael. You know, all the news reports could get back to I don't know dog shows or whatever else. There. Yeah." That's it. So all the fighting is solved. All we have to do is pull out a chumash. Put down your weapons. We've got a Rashi. Yeah? So Rav Gifter says, how does this help us? It's a good question, huh? I'm sure it bothers somebody. You read this Rashi every year. This is like going to solve all of our problems. This is going to be our claim to the land. No, nations of the world. Yeah? UN Security Council. Can we have your attention for a moment? I just want to read to you a Rashi. Hi, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak.
Rabbi Yitzchak would agree with that.
Yeah? No? This is gonna solve the problem. You know, all the fighting in the Middle East is gonna be solved by this Chumash Pasuk and Rashi. So the Rav Gifter says an amazing thing. Rav Gifter says, of course not. Rahman al-Islam. Unfortunately, no militant Islamic cousin of ours is gonna put down their knife because you show them a Rashi, unfortunately. But he says the following. Chazal of an expression, da ma'ala hashiv. Yeah, you've heard that line? What does it mean, da ma'ala hashiv? Da ma'ala hashiv.
No,
you have to know what to respond. Right? You have to know how to respond to a heretic. Now when you meet some guy on the street corner, yeah, and he says, listen, I'm going to explain to you, I'm going to show you Pesukim and Ezekiel, I'm going to show you why Yashka is the true path to salvation. Right? Da ma'ala hashiv, you have to know how to respond. You have to know how to respond. Rabbi Yeshua, the Tana Rabbi Yeshua, spent a lot of years in Athens debating in the courts, taking on the nations of the world. Doma al-Hashim, you have to know how to respond. Rabbi Gifter says an amazing thing. It's in the Pirkei Torah from Rabbi Gifter, his writings on Chumash. He says, hold on a second. It doesn't say you have to respond. 99 out of 100 times if you respond, you're wasting your time. It does not say this is what you should respond. It says, Doma al-Hashim, you have to know what to respond. You have to know how you could... If you were dealing with a people who were reasonable and rational and actually wanted to hear what you had to say, this would make sense. You have to have a clarity. And Rav Gifter says, the ikkar of what this Rashi is saying has nothing to do with the Umas Olam. You're not going to convince one person by going on any major news network and saying, let me read you Rashi, let me read you the Pasuk, Bereishis Bara Elokim. You're not going to convince one person. But you know who you're going to convince? Hopefully by reading this Rashi yourself. And Rav Gifter says the main thing that a Jew needs to do is be machazik himself. Because you go out to the world and after a while you start to say, you know what, maybe the Palestinian people do have a right. Yes, maybe they are an oppressed people and it makes sense that they should attack women and children and citizens of Jerusalem. Right? You start to become, your way of thinking becomes corrupted. Because you hear it time and time again, over and over again, right? That the Israeli people are this and the Jewish people are that. And you start to lose your moral clarity. So Gifter says this Rashi is not to try to convince anyone of the Umos Olam, right? Even though it says Amr Laham, say to them, list. Right? They're going to say list them at them. You're going to say back to them, no, Hashem gave us them. You're not trying to convince them. Gifter says you're trying to mechazik your emuna, and it's such an important yisod because it's not only true about Eretz Yisrael; it's true about everything that's happening in the world. Anytime the world decides to overturn basic values that are founded and grounded in the Torah, right? A Jew has to be mechazik himself. Da malashi. You have to know, what do I stand for? Because if you don't have a clarity, if you don't have a Yediyah Behira, like Rav Gedalia Shor is saying here, you're not gonna be able to take a Torah, you're not gonna be able to live like that. And you become sympathetic to things that don't require our sympathies. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created sometimes a very evil world in order for us to appreciate, in the contrast, what we can do with our lives. However, let's read a little more. Bottom paragraph. Etzem Metzias Shel Ra Hu L'Tachlis Tova. The negativity of the world helps us to find the true good. The Yisron Ha'or Min HaChoshech, like Kohelet says. Milvad Asher B'Bir Ha'Ra Yesh Esgalis Kod Elokis. First of all, by fighting the negativity, it gives us the opportunity to what? To be Megalek Kvot Shemayim. But Be'etz Metzias Shel Ra Yesh Tachlis, the Ra itself, not the destruction of the Ra is purposeful, but even the existence of the Ra is purposeful. Why? Shal Yada, that through it, a person is Porish from the Ra. A person has the opportunity. We're surrounded by a world with so much negativity. That means every move I make, I have an opportunity to move away from Ra, to be a Sor Meira type of Jew. Every decision I'm making, because of the Ra, it's surrounding me. So every step I take is a step away from negativity, potentially. V'zeu bir divrei ha'gemara. And that's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was miyed es hayareach. I was the one who made the moon small. There's time when the light of the world is going to be not so radiant. Hashem says, yes, I made it that there's going to be dark moments. I'm responsible for that. Look what he says here. Now what's the way to metakin, where it's underlined? How do you fix the Ra? How do you solve the problem in the Middle East? You try to teach someone from Yishmael this Rashi and Chumash? No, you teach it to yourself. By choosing good in the face of evil and bringing yourself closer to Hashem in that way, that itself is a tikkun of the Ra. Look what he says. It's amazing. Look. Ukamoshi adua mitzvah makadoshim. Shebechol meichel shadam ochel, hu magbias anitzotzen shal kedusha sheyesh ba meichel. You eat food, you make a bracha. You eat kosher food, gavaldik. You lift it up holy sparks. Umachol asasura sheoser laochlam, al yedei aprisha meachilasim, umalas kedusha. And when I refrain from eating something I'm not supposed to eat, that also elevates. Vezeha ofen ayachidi shal yada yachol adam letakin ila machalim. That's the only way. How do I elevate a piece of pork? By not eating it. That's how I elevate a piece of pork. How do I fix it? I can't engage it. I engage it by disengaging it, by not involving myself with it. So now listen, it's such a deep yesod here. Look what he says here. How do you understand the Gemara? Bring a kapara for me, Hashem says. Bring a kapara for you, Hashem? What does it mean, bring a kapara for you? Look what he says. He says, "Kapara, who milashon kinuach, shee kaneach viasur zeh hester sheish ba'abria, va'idea karban yavul ideas karvus labar." What do they bring a kapara? What is kapara? Kapara means to what? Kapara means to remove, to wipe away something, to cleanse something, right? Bring a kapara through a karban means what? Hashem says, "Fix my broken world, the world that I've allowed purposefully to be broken." Fix it by a karban, by bringing yourself close to me. And realize that a step towards me is also a step away from negativity, because the world is so filled with negativity. Gavaldik. We're living in a world of tremendous hashchasa, tremendous upheaval, tremendous brokenness. And even in the finest people of planet Earth are mushchasim, the repulsive people, the people who claim to defend human rights, are some of the greatest violators of human rights. Asher es gabris haraka zek kema'at shelo haya b'chol yimos ha'olam. Ki bizmanenu asher nismatu alavavos, turn the page. Tzrichim l'zor es gadol. Kedei yifrosh. To separate ourselves from all of this negativity. Go to the next paragraph. Ksiv. Vatiru es shkutzeyem, shikutzeyem, ves giluleyem, eitz va'evin, right? Pen yesh ba'em mishal levavo pona mi'im Hashem lokecha. Listen to what it says here. You're going to see the disgusting things that they do,
Right? And make sure that you're careful. Make sure that what? That you're not attracted to. With a horror hupella. Shalom a kosiv koryazesh shikutseyam. Lami ish chashash yefana achareyam. Listen to what he says here. Rav Gedalia Shor says, if you yourself call it disgusting, so then of course you're not going to be drawn after it. Why do I have to make sure that I'm not drawn after it? Look what he says. Elizeh simin shebe'is asher ha'adam roa dover ra yesh netiyah b'lev leilich ulis anyen ba mizeh shem onin ba yesh chashash yefana me'im hashem lokecha. When a person sees something, right, even if he's not going to actually come to do it, even if he says, that's a disgusting thing. But the very fact that he's seen it, the very fact that it's part of his world, right, creates a danger for a person to what? To be drawn to it. Even though it's disgusting. Because you become used to it. And what initially was disgusting, over time becomes not so bothersome. Like they say from Rav Menachem Mendel Vitebsk, explaining the Gemaimer Chazal, HaRoa Sota B'Kulkula Yazir Atzav V'Noyayin. If you see the disgrace of the Sota, so then what should you do? You should detach yourself from wine. Why? I saw how disgusting she became. I saw how ruined her life was. Why do I need to be careful? I saw how this person got caught with this crime. So why do I need to make a offense in my life for that crime? Doesn't the very fact that I saw how embarrassed this person was, doesn't that itself create the offense? Shelechorim roa ha-kilkul. Halo dai bezev alama yeshtorach la'od prishos v'zehirus. Why do you need to guard yourself more? Don't you already see? Didn't you learn your lesson just by watching what happened to this poor woman? So you know what the Vitebsk writes? It's in the Sefer. What's the Sefer of Menachem Mendel Vitebsk? Pre-Arts. It's in the Sefer. I've seen it in the Sefer, so I know it's there. Look what he says. The very fact that you saw the Sota, El Shari'iyas Hara Gorim Sha'adam Ya'anyen Bo, V'zayachol Ligrom Lo Hezek Rab. The fact that you saw it, you become interested in it, you become intrigued by it, you become sympathetic to it, right? You become attached to it. And you lose your sensitivities over time. Go to the top of the next column. I'm finishing the piece in the next 6 minutes. Zebar asher apam arishon. Asher abachar yeshiva holech besvivos ke'elu. Shel universita. When a yeshiva bachar is also in university. He's not talking about yeshiva university. Because this is a yeshiva. Right? But unfortunately, even in our yeshiva. No, I'm being serious. Even in our yeshiva. He's talking about a bachur who's taking classes in a secular college, right? But when a person, even in the yeshiva university, has to be careful to maintain the sensitivities. Not everyone here has the same sensitivities you have, or should have. When a bachur in yeshiva, the first time he sees something repulsive, right? He's studying in university, because he needs to make a living. And he knows that he needs to get a degree. Okay, so he's accepted that reality. But the first time he sees something so disgusting, he literally wants to vomit, b'masher roasham. He's literally nauseous from what he saw. But as time goes on, what happens? He's not repulsed by it. He becomes, and he may not be involved in it. He may not be doing those things. But it's not as jarring to him. It's not as shocking to him. It doesn't bother him. That image, that word, right? That comment, that text, it doesn't bother him the same way. What's the big deal? All right, don't be so old-fashioned. He loses his sensitivities. And he's no longer that sweet, innocent yeshiva bachar. And even if he hasn't changed externally, he's not doing those things. What does the Torah say over there in the Tzavim? But on the inside, he's rotting a little bit. His insides have been damaged. And it becomes so hard to undo the damage. That idea, that knowledge, that image, right? Those words that he heard, it's so hard to erase it from his memory. When the ra is still external to him, it's easy to keep it at bay. But once it enters into a person, it's almost impossible to erase again that image or that knowledge, whatever it is, that disgusting thing that's so far from where a Jew who's endowed with the Meshama Elokis is supposed to be. It's very hard to correct that. And therefore the Torah warns us. But Tiras Shikutseim, when you see the repulsive things, make sure you don't be, make sure you are repulsed by it. Make sure you don't become comfortable with it. Because again, over time it's very easy for us to lose our sensitivities. It's such an important thing that we have to actively work towards and work against. Okay, last paragraph for today. Tov Ma'od, bottom of page 38. Tov Ma'od, the Shmoa Drashas V'Diburim Naim. Rabosai, I want to end on a very practical note. Look what he says here. You can listen to many drashos, right? But again, this drasha that we've learned today and everything that I added to share with you today from all these other Sfarim HaKadoshim, yeah, you can listen to all the drashos in the world. This was a drasha about taking something to heart. So if you don't have a game plan, you are going to get stuck in the circle that the Chassam Sofer and Avelio Mishkovsky are describing. If you don't push the button in the elevator, no matter how much you're thinking about getting to the top of the building, you will not get to the top of the building until you do something about it. Until you actually do something about it. So it's very nice to hear a lot of drashos. But a drasha and yediyah is not worth anything until it enters one's heart. And look what he concludes with. It was Kedai to stick it out to the end of the piece just to see this part. Look what he says. They asked one of the rabbis of Slan, "Kishashalu echad mechasidav, lama ina over divrei chasidus kashar abadim, v'rak matif divrei musar. Why don't you ever say divrei chasidus? Right? The rabbi, you should, you know, give mamarim. Other rabbis give long, lengthy mamarim. Hey, right? Why don't we get mamarim from you, rabbi? Look what he responded to them. Look what he said. He responded." Tehillim Kuf Mem Aleph Psukim Vav Zayin. What does it say there? Vishamru. I want to pronounce the words right. Give me a Tehillim.
Shkayach. Where is it?
Kuf Mem Aleph. I usually try to write down the Nekudos. Not a mitzvah to butcher David Melech's words. Let's see. David Melech says in Tehillim, David Melech says, Vishamru Amarai Ki Na'emu. Okay, I would not have gotten that right. What it said. Vishamru Amarai Ki Na'emu. Listen to my words because they are sweet. Kamo, what's the next word?
Telech.
Nope. Foleach Uvokea Ba'aretz. Okay? So the first part we probably maybe could have pulled it off, right? Vishamu Amarai, listen to my words. Yeah? Kina Emu. Because they are very sweet. But there's a danger when you hear sweet words, you hear a nice drasha, you hear a nice idea, you hear a cute story. Yeah, there's a danger of what? Kimo foleh uvokea ba'aretz. Like a person who's what? Who's beating an axe into the ground. Listen to what they say. They say this also, the Rishna used to say this part also. Look what he says. Again, he quotes the pasuk. If you listen to the words of Musar and you say, wow, it's a good drasha. He gave a nice speech. As like a person, imagine the absurdity of watching a person in the forest, yeah? And you see it with an axe, yeah? Look, he has the axe and he's swinging it into the dirt, right? And there's a big tree right there next to it. So you say to him, what are you doing? So he says, I'm chopping down this tree. Yeah, and he keeps hitting the dirt. So you say, sir, if you want to chop down the tree, you got to hit the tree. You can't hit around the tree. Yeah? You can't hit around the tree. You have to hit the tree. If you hear the words of Musar, and you say, ah, nice drasha. Right? Very ori, very sweet. A sweet drasha. It's like a person who's bokeh, wants to chop a tree, and he's beating the earth. Bevadai hu noach lo. It feels good. You feel like you're getting a good workout, right? You feel tough every time you swing the axe. But the tree hasn't moved an inch. You have not chopped down the tree. You have not uprooted that Yitzhar in your heart. Listen to how the Rav Gedalia Shor concludes. He says, the Jews of the earlier generations, yeah, did they hear as many shmuzen as we hear? No. Did they have as many svarim as we do? No. Right? Do they have as many shiurim online to listen to as we do? Yeah. No. Yeah? But imvart echad hayechol l'chayos kol hashana. A chassid would go to his rabbi, he'd hear one vart, and he would think about it, work on it the entire year. Go to the last page. Vayom yodim kol hasvarim v'chol hasichos v'sipurim. And nowadays we listen, and we listen, and we listen, and more shmuz, and more shiurim. Yeah? And more svarim. And more videos and more everything. Right? The ikar is what comes from it. A yediyah that does something, that pumped into the heart. She yeah, that it should be an expression of a yadata yom. So he says, listen, You want to go to university? He concludes the final paragraph. He says, you want to go to university to make parnasa? Go to university to make parnasa. But don't become a person, right, whose life, whose tachlis becomes to go to university. Don't go to get the degree. If the degree gets you somewhere, and you can answer how the next thing leads to the next thing, and the punchline is, and it leads me close to Hashem, then gavaldik. But if my eating leads to more working, my working leads to more eating, right? And I need to have money. Why do you need to have money? So I can buy a house. Why do you need to have a house? So I can live. Why do you need to live? Well, I want to be alive. Why do you want to be alive? Right? So, well, I need to have enough money so that way I can retire. Then I retire. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to play golf? And what's the point of playing golf? I don't enjoy golf. What's the point of enjoying life? What's the point of anything? So if it doesn't, if the punchline of my life is not so that I can serve my Creator and live a life of true meaning, then I'm stuck in the circle. But if I can use something, going to university for Parnassa Gavaldik. But Gedalia Shor says you don't have to walk around in the university sweatshirt, right? And you don't have to get involved in all sorts of other university activities. Go to your classes, he says. He's speaking to Bacham in Torah Vadas. Go to your classes and then come back to the Beis Medrash. And use it just as a stepping stone to something that you need in life. But don't get caught up in it. So Chaver Mir Tashem. We should take it to heart. We should be Jews who take the words of the Divrei Yecheskel. Masha Avar Avar. We can't go back and say, if I would have done Yom Kippur a little different, or Shana, this, that. It's done. It's Baruch Hashem, it's coming. We're into the grind. Baruch Hashem, we have the opportunity to learn a lot together. And Amir Tashem, we should just be Shabbos Bereishis type of Jews who say, okay, now I'm really going to get started. I'm really going to do something for the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm not going to be a theoretical Jew. I'm going to be a Jew who actually does something with himself on a daily basis and every day. Every day I'll be a better Jew. Mirat Hashem. All right, Shkoyach. Thanks for coming. Chazak Sunday. Shkoyach. Sunday.